Well, thank you, Greg, for introducing me. This is very basic and preliminary research on some practical issues of on the use of a LCD screen in front of a sort of 50 people audience, which is about half of this room or two-thirds of this room. This is our hospital. I'm a medical doctor working in ENT, ear, nose, and throat medicine, and my place or my usual base is Aachen in West Germany. Here's one of our later additions, the one at the bottom right, that's the reptile-looking thing, that's the helipad. Okay, so what has motivated us to use or to add 3D videotaping or video imaging to our educational means? Well, to understand this, you look at the medical course in Germany. It's 1 year of basic science, physics, chemistry, and what have you. And then in year two, you learn your anatomy, physiology. And in year three, you've got non-clinical specialties such as immunology, microbiology, etc. You still don't see a patient. And this happens in year four and five. And year six is finally your steady allocation to the medics, the surgeons, and another specialty of your choice. You've got exams at three stages, and this is the classical way it used to be. However, from 2004 onwards, we had our medical course revised. So the first bit and the last bit stays the same, but in between, everything's changed. And by doing so, I mean that you now got certain organ-related blocks, certain organ-related courses, respiratory system, blood, gastrointestinal, urogenital, cardiovascular, and sensory organs. And you only got one exam at the end, or almost the end. And I'll tell you why this is relevant in a second. This course revision has actually proved very popular. So in the early days, this is our place here. Germany, north to south, we're in the extreme west, exactly halfway, but our, let's say, pool of potential medical doctors or students was rather small. Now, with the revision of our course has become quite popular because it's not always available in Germany, so we recruit students from all over the place. However, for us, as a small specialty, ear, nose, and throat, it does have its downside, because in the old course we used to present our stuff within one block here in year four or five. Now, obviously, we're split up between respiratory organs, nose and throat, gastro, that's mouth and salivary glands, and one chunk in the sensory organs module, which is obviously vestibular organ, taste, and hearing. Okay, coming to hearing, students may feel quite bewildered or offended even by the anatomy, because it's rather complicated. This is a classical anatomical sketch from an anatomy book, and you can see that there's a nice flat cut drawn horizontally across the human hearing organ, across the petrous bone, and you can see that the facial nerve has been cut, the carotid artery has been cut, and everything inside the ear is rather open. This is okay to learn anatomy, but it's not really compatible to life, let alone function. So this approach is not really suitable for surgery. And in order to teach students the way we look at an ear, that is through the outer ear canal into the middle ear, we have to record our stuff outside the or inside the OR and carry it outside on a screen. And in order to do so, we've applied a camera module next to the or attached it to the microscope that's on a beam splitter of a Zeiss operation microscope, and the camera module has been manufactured by Mike Weisman's company, that's TrueVision Systems at Santa Barbara's, and this is connected to a computer and a cart inside the OR. The module fits nicely onto the onto the operation microscope. Everything's draped away. These are the surgeon's hands and the assistants. That's the assisting doctor and the nurse. They can watch the operation in stereo straight away. But that's not the main objective. The main objective is to teach a number of students inside the OR as well as outside of the OR. As an alternative, we've also used a pair of EOS 550 Canon cameras. They can be used for video recording as well, but not for online viewing, obviously. You may notice that this camera is turned upside down, and the simple reason for this is this wasn't really necessary from an optical point of view because it's attached to either side of the side of the microscope. But the simple reason for this is that you have to trigger the infrared sensor, and if this were turned orthogonally or the right way up, the IR trigger would be blocked by this electromotor brake. So, carrying the system to the lecture hall, we did a little survey with 64 undergraduate students, 43 male and 21 female, aged 24 to 32, and they were all participating in the sensory organs module for hearing and balance and smelling. The middle ear lecture we did the survey in lasted 45 minutes. All students had stereopsis, and most of them actually had previous experience with some sort of 3D entertainment, mostly with 3D movies at the cinema. And we showed them 7 stereo video clips of about half a minute up to almost 1.5 minutes each. Okay, here's the card. Unfortunately, we cannot afford a stack of very powerful 3D projector equipment, and moreover, we don't have a silver screen inside the lecture hall, because if we were to tear it down just for experimental reasons, the dean would be cross at us. So we just carried this system straight to the lecture hall. And for 3D glasses, we used the leftovers of some major 3D event, I can't remember the name of, and it worked pretty well. Okay, so the advantages of taking the 55-inch screen is, or rather of videotaping from an operation scene in general. If you take the left and right view from a microscope, you've got your fixed interocular distance, visual axes are always parallel, so you get rid of a lot of problems you would have in the real world, or by filming, or by taping with an ordinary video macroscopic camera. So focus, lighting, color temperature, all that is identical. We do have a good quality display on the system. That's a 55-inch JVC monitor, which is quite bright. And by using the system directly, we can show the video clips straight off the RAID 0 system, the RAID 0 disk array, in an uncompressed manner, because compression is done from the system at a later stage. On the downside, however, obviously the screen is quite small, you've got high disparity values, and also vignetting with higher degrees of magnification, which I'm going to show you in a second. If I could ask Dan, who's been very kind to us, to show the video clips now. Dan's done a tremendous job just by picking video clips this morning, or accepting my video clips, who came in at a rather late stage. Right, so this is a short video clip from the EOS 550 Canon pair of cameras. You won't notice any vignetting here because it's really a small volume, a small XY volume out of the real image. But you notice one thing, that the disparity values are quite enormous thanks to the operation instrument sticking out of the operative field. In this case, we have opened up the mastoid and we are liberating the facial nerve, which has been inflamed and therefore needs some air to breathe, otherwise it would just compress itself and inside the bony canal and thereby in the long run lose its function. So, yes, as I said, this was pre-recorded material. This cannot be shown live. The Canon cameras do have an HDMI output, but that's not the full resolution. That doesn't give you the full resolution. So the video footage here needs to be post-processed. And this is the result from the TVS, the TrueVision system. This is a mastoid bone. And as you can see, with low magnification and zooming in, vignetting can be quite disturbing, but the image itself is not so bad after all, if it weren't for the disparity of the instrument sticking in. But the middle ear structures, such as the malleus moving, the incus following, and the stapes here, the movement is quite natural, and so is the perspective. Right. The TVS system has a wonderful feature of zooming in without resolution loss, because the sensors have got quite some reserves. They do cover 4K in 4K. That makes it 16 megapixels per sensor. Okay. Once again, move the ocular chain. And this is what students actually like best, to look at the middle ear in the fashion the surgeon would look at it. And I myself didn't have a clue about, let's say, middle ear anatomy until graduation, I must admit. Still, now I'm doing these operations myself. That's a cochlear implantation. That's the electrode bundle being pushed into the inner ear for people who've been deaf for a while. Okay. I think we can stop this clip here. Thank you, Dan. And return to the presentation. Okay, so we had a return rate of the questionnaire of 63%, because some of the listeners left during the presentation, but just because they were had to see some other courses. Well, most of our students actually positively answered the question whether they had a better understanding of complex anatomy. And most of them actually remarked, just by handwriting, that they had never seen the middle ear structures in the way we were actually showing it to them before. So that was the most positive result. However, not so many were motivated to pick up surgical skills, because that's a very far-reaching question, whether to become a surgeon or a non-surgical medic. So, however, 38% would generally prefer 3D over 2D presentations. This figure may not be very high, but then you have to think that the focus lies on the word general. So it has to make sense. Then students would accept the presentation in 3D. But just like that, I mean, just for let's say flashy or sort of presentation reasons, l'art pour l'art, this wouldn't work. Okay, right. Yeah, sorry. Okay, thank you. 23%, however, in turn mentioned that they saw no benefit of 3D presentations over 2D whatsoever. Okay. Right, so in conclusion, we obviously need to fine-tune the questionnaire, and we have to look at side factors such as viewing comfort, discomfort, other adverse effects, personal reasons, can just like astigmatism or other viewing disparities. We also need a rerun with projectors instead of the 55-inch screen at a larger screen size. But it can be said from the very preliminary results that there's a generally good acceptance for 3D video as a specific educational tool. So you have to be specific about it, what you want to show in an undergraduate course. However, its usefulness to direct careers just by one lecture, just by saying, okay, this looks great, I want to be a microsurgeon, this is not going to work, because people obviously, or students obviously, take a broader picture or keep their mind open about their careers just until the very last lecture. All right, so this is it for now. I'd like to acknowledge the help, or the financing help, of Extra. That's our training center for extra skills, basically, our skills lab, which generously funded the True Vision system in July 2010. I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions? We have about 3 minutes.
What kind of cameras are you using? What's the scope system look like?
Wait, Sean. Sean.
Yeah.
What kind of cameras are you using? You said something about Canons.
Yeah.
Okay. And
we had two types. So the first one was just a pair of ordinary off-the-shelf Canon EOS 550D consumer camera. And they've got adapters to a side port provided by the Zeiss OPMI Vario microscope. That's an ordinary operating microscope, which is middle of the road. But you could also do it to a Leica microscope. Add digital eyeballs, yeah. And
another question
about the details of the True Vision system, you better refer to Mike, who's constructed it. Okay.
And what was the size of the student audience that was viewing the 55-inch screen?
Yeah. Well, we asked students to sit a little closer, so the audience would actually cover, let's say, the middle row, the first 8 to 10 seats. Yeah, but the total size of the lecture hall was 2/3 of this one here.
Yeah, because if you're on a budget, maybe if the projection equipment's too expensive, the TVs are getting cheaper, so maybe multiple TVs.
Yeah.
So that smaller groups can be closer.
That's true. Yes.
Answer.
Yeah, multiple TVs might be an alternative, but then again, the side L's are rather small, and we just got rid of those old TV sets hanging or being suspended from the side walls.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Is there any use of 3D computer graphics so that students can spin an anatomical model that they might operate on, or do you ever pay companies like Zebra Imaging to make a hologram that they could look at as much as they want?
Yeah. The neural anatomists, the anatomy guys who only deal with the brain and the spine, they've applied for funding to Extra, to the training center, to have, let's say, an online demonstration system inside the lecture hall, and with the deployment of about 5 or 10 computers.
Well, thank you very much. Good to see you again.
Thank you.